address some of the issues here about space and location. And we spent some very, deep time struggling with the issues that have come up, and came up with a strategic plan, which the board approved and the community approved, and we're trying to work with that plan this year to implement different parts of it. And one of them has to do with our location, because we're not in compliance here, zoning-wise, and we have some parking issues that reoccur, and we're wondering if, space-wise, we can accommodate the growth that's going on. So we're in the process of asking, again, for feedback from our community. We don't have members as such here. We're a community that's open to whoever comes, and no one is ever turned away because of financial needs. So right now there's a survey out, and you can find it on TCMC's website, and you can also find a hard copy in the lobby there. And we're asking people to say, we can support TCMC in some monetary way or volunteer way as we move ahead with this program. So I just wanted to, I'm trying to get to all the evening sits and explain what's going on. If you haven't been attending TCMC for a while, you may know nothing about it. You may have been at our annual meeting last April and know lots about it. So please fill out the survey. We would like your feedback, even if your feedback is, I can't help TCMC at this time. Okay. Also, our communications committee, which Wanda's on, did this lovely thing of redoing a brochure that talks about TCMC and who we are and what we offer. And there's lots of copies in the lobby, and I'll leave them out there on the table, and I encourage you to take them and share them with friends. And we're really happy to have this. It was a long time in coming. When I first got on the board a year and a half ago, they were starting to work on this, but now it's the real thing. So anyhow, thank you for the opportunity to speak, and thank you to Adasa. And I may be back next week at 6:30 to catch those I didn't get this time. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I hope you're all well. It feels like fall now. It feels like the monsoons are probably over. Everybody's back to school. So, anyone have anything that they would like to talk about? How's your practice going? Everyone's practicing every day, right? That's really good. Yeah.
I have found that I can, in fact, make a practice of my daily swimming laps.
Yeah.
And very mindfully, pinky goes into the water first, kind of completely pay attention to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised, and should not have been, that what it's done for the rest of my practice is really noticeable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really believe that would happen, but I am finding it so. So you can make anything you do a movement meditation.
Yeah.
And I just, if I have to get cardio, then I meditate faster.
Yes, you can. And the walking meditation, really, everything about the walking meditation you can apply to all kinds of other physical activities. But the next step is to make everything you do a meditation.
It's enough of a surprise to find out you can meditate doing swimming laps. That it's just, that can happen.
Maybe enough of a surprise, but I know you. Soon you'll try to be surprised in the other way. So.
Well, yeah. Can reading be a meditation? Hmm? Right here.
Oh, yeah, fine.
Can reading be a meditation?
Can reading be a meditation? There is a sense in which absolutely everything can be a meditation, meaning that if you can retain mindfulness while you're doing it. But that requires a lot of skill, and more importantly even than the skill is that you've made your mind powerful enough so that you can, even while you're doing something that is so completely preoccupying as reading text, still sustain an awareness of your own mind. But if you're able to do that, then definitely reading, accounting, arguing, everything can be done as a meditation. And that's really to see how anything can become a meditation is to really get a good grasp on what meditation is about. And it's being able to use your mind, exercise your mind in a particular way. And so, if you're doing, that would be the reading is going to be the focus of your attention. It's going to take a lot of your mental resources because there's, you know. The simple part of it that happens automatically is that your mind provides the semantic meaning of the words. But then those words are all organized together to, from the writer to you, to communicate certain ideas and create certain, in some cases, images, in other cases, something more abstract. But and so a lot is going on in your mind. But if you can do that and be present in other ways at the same time, and you don't, you haven't lost the present, you haven't lost self-awareness and so forth as a result of the intensity of what your attention is on, then you're meditating. Anybody done that? Or tried that?
Not while reading.
Not while reading. While talking to people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's similar. Mm-hmm. And probably one of the most important things to do is to be in that state while you're talking to people. Mm-hmm. So what that means if you're talking to someone is knowing what's going on in your mind, and knowing what the motivation is behind the words that are coming out of your mouth. They have an intention, they're trying to produce an effect. And if you know what's going on, rather than just kind of being along for the ride, then you're meditating.
and it seems for me when that happens, having a real strong body awareness is important mm-hmm. too. Like if there's all of a sudden tightness in one part of my body
yes.
or something, that gives me a message that I'm not fully present or that there's some emotions that I wasn't aware of. But if I can also be grounded, it's important what's going on in the mind, but it seems to be for me for it to be
a mindfulness practice to just really have strong body awareness. Yeah. Also.
Yeah, the connection between the mind and the body, you know, it's so easy to think that there are two different things. All the subtleties of emotional reactions manifest in the body before you recognize what they are at a conscious level.
Is there something inherent in going quickly that is counterproductive to meditation?
Not inherently, no. Just it takes more skill to go quickly without losing track of what you're doing. That's all.
Sometimes I feel like I don't have time to do the mindful walking practice at my speed, mm-hmm. and actually get from one place to another. You know, if I have to do something. Right. So I find it quite difficult to catch anywhere. I don't know if you know what I mean by catch, but to try to hook on to mindful awareness if I'm just walking. Because I need to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So you have to go from one place to another. Say it's a distance that's going to take 3-4 minutes to cover. You don't need to necessarily focus on the soles of your feet and the movement of walking. That's happening quickly. But what's happening in your mind while you're walking? Are you fully present? Your eyes are open, your ears are open. All your senses are functioning. And, you know, most of the time, I think what happens when people have to get from here to there, and it takes 3 or 4 minutes, is they bug out and think about something, and they bug back in just in time to get there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to do that, actually. I'm trying to say, oh, I could use this time to be mindful, but then I kind of, I don't know, I start with my feet, but then it's like moving too fast, and I think, oh, I'll try to be mindful of everything. And you say, you know, I could be mindful of my mind, but it seems quite kind of nebulous almost.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. But if you think about it this way, you try to pay attention to your feet while you're walking, oh. and then that seems like it's too fast.
Oh.
So you're aware of that. You're aware that, oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And as long, you know, as long as you're in the present with what's actually happening with your body and mind, then you are meditating. You can refine it to all kinds of levels beyond that. But staying in the present, being mindful of what's actually happening right now, if you're just being mindful of what's happening physically, there's a whole other dimension of what's going on in your mind that you could be mindful of, and vice versa. So there's always a lot to engage with as a part of the present. And it's going to be a worthwhile practice as long as you can just simply do that. Keep yourself from jumping ahead to what you're going to say to somebody when you get where you're going.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that we most often do.
Okay, so there's something else that I've been wanting to know about, which is planning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people say, oh, meditation is for people who don't want to live, you know, or who don't have to do anything. Because, you know, you have to plan. You do want to think about what, I mean, I like to think about what I might say to someone before I speak to them, if it's especially if it's a complicated conversation. You know, in relationships, I find sometimes I need to think about things and plan.
Well, and you can do that. You can do that very mindfully. Everyone, on certain occasions, finds themselves rehearsing what they're going to say to somebody. But on the one hand, you can just be imagining what you're going to say, without being aware of everything that's behind that. By behind that, I mean, what are your feelings? Is there some anxiety that's making you want to rehearse it? Is there some particular objective you want to achieve? Is there something about the way the person interacted with you last time that is a concern? You know, if you're mindful, you know that, that's behind this rehearsal. And then, if you're mindful and you find yourself truly planning what you're going to say, rather than just letting the mind run on and imagine good and bad scenarios, then truly planning means you're taking into account this other person, what you know about them, how well you understand them, what is it I want to communicate, and how can I communicate that best? That is planning. And that's planning that is rooted in the reality of who you are right now and what your motivations are and things like that. So planning can be done as a very mindful activity, even though you're planning something that's in the future.
In the future.
But most of the planning that we do isn't done that way.
No.
Most of it's kind of a distraction and an entertainment, and most of what really happens isn't what we planned anyway. So That's the difference. It's so easy to say something like, mindfulness means being in the present moment. Well, that seems to totally rule out planning.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I succeeded in explaining it to you, but it really doesn't. You plan mindfully.
It's like you're in the present and you know that you're planning for a possible future.
Yes. You're in the present, you know that you're planning. And you're doing it as a thoughtful, mindful, aware activity. Because the value that comes from planning is if you know what it is that you want to say, if you know what the impression is that you want to create, if you know what the result is, and you're really clear on that, mm-hmm. that then your planning is a really useful, valuable, wonderful thing. But how many times have you planned what you're going to say to somebody, and the first thing out of their mouth made you realize that, oh, you were way off base. And that's totally irrelevant. Yeah. Your brother? Hope your brother's here.
I have a question.
Yes.
the practice that we had talked about before with using the first jhana or the jhanas as a way of kind of consolidating the mind and then going from that to the breath.
Yeah.
And then when the breath starts or the attention on the breath starts slipping, going back into that, to the jhana. Mm-hmm. Question about that was, you know, when I find, let's say I'm in the jhana and I'm, you know, pretty light in there and I start slipping out of it, mm-hmm. sometimes I'll like come to and realize I've already slipped out of it, and then maybe now would be a time to go with the breath, mm-hmm. or drop back into the jhana, get kind of focused and deliberately go with the breath, and vice versa. If I'm with the breath and I find my attention starting to slip and it was like, okay, now I should really go into the jhana, does it make sense when I kind of, sometimes like if, even if I'm a little bit distracted and the PT rises and it's very like immediate to get back into the jhana, but it's not very deliberate, versus, I don't know if I'm making sense, you know, like the awareness, the attention on the breath starts to kind of erode without me necessarily being aware of it. So rather than being like, oh, the attention's eroding, let me go into the jhana at this point. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'll just kind of erode away and suddenly I'll be like, oh, here I am. Should I go back to the breath for a little bit of time at the risk of then getting distracted again? Or go just right then at the point of awareness of like, I should just go into the jhana right now? Because mm-hmm. I can see how it could go both ways with that. Okay. You know, training your mind potentially with a bad habit of losing it or whatever.
Okay. I know some of you, this might have been Greek for some of you. So I want to answer his question, but I don't want to make the rest of you fall asleep and be worried. What he's asking about, jhanas are meditative absorptions. When the mind becomes very absorbed in anything for that period of time, the mind is unified in the sense that all the different parts of the mind are working cooperatively, harmoniously, cohesively. They're not struggling against each other. They're all on task with what you're doing at the same time, which is accompanied by a feeling of joy. Now, in the process of meditation, one of the things that you're doing is you're bringing the mind, you're learning how to unify the mind, how to bring it together into this state of cohesive wholeness. And you can enter jhanas. There's a certain point in your meditation where you're capable of entering light jhanas, light absorptions. And the absorption temporarily unifies the mind. So you can use those absorptions. When you reach that stage where the next thing that you need to accomplish is to be able to collect your mind together. That's actually what the word samadhi means, is to collect together. So when you go sit down and you want to be able to collect your mind together, to unify it, to make it into this powerful instrument that it can be, when that's the next stage in your practice, you can use these light jhanas, which help to bring it together temporarily like that, to train the mind and make it easier to do that just as part of your meditation practice every time you sit down, or even for your mind to become more unified even when you're not sitting in meditation. So essentially what George is asking about is a practice that he's been doing, using jhanas to help him achieve a kind of unification of the mind that's not dependent upon the jhana, and that will be there even when he's not in this state of absorption. And the question he's asked, a little technical question about when certain things happen, should he go back into the jhanas right away, or should he work on the breath right away? And so the answer, and I'm answering him when I'm explaining this to you, keep in mind what your goal is, that you're using the jhanas as a tool to collect the mind together and to make it this unified process. And that's what your goal is. So if the mind is starting to become more dispersed and diffused, and you realize that, if it hasn't kind of unraveled too much, going back into the jhana right then is a really good way to reconsolidate it. And then once you've done that and it's consolidated again, then go back into a more open state of awareness following the breath and see if you can keep your mind as unified as possible. So that's, and if you, that's what you want to do. Now, if you still have a really strong, cohesive focus of your mind, and you notice that you're just starting to lose it, rather than immediately go into an absorption to pull it all together again, you should first, you know, if you realize what's happening early enough, you should first see if you can just, by becoming introspectively aware of what's happening, then just bring it all back together again. And if that doesn't work, you know, then you could go into it. So judge on the basis of just how much you, that you're in your own sense of how much your mind is starting to revert to its usual way of doing all kinds of different things at once instead of all being unified.
Thank you.
Well, so. Any other last quick question before we prepare to do our meditation? I think that what I will do this evening, instead of doing our usual meditation, if it's all right with you, of course, is we might do a guided loving kindness meditation. All right. Well, why don't you start adjusting yourself to be maximally comfortable? And if I could ask somebody to hand out copies of this, if anyone doesn't know it already by heart. $1 prayer. So let's say this mandala prayer together, and as we do so, I invite you to visualize what each of these lines is expressing, and expand upon it. Like, take each of the lines of this mandala prayer as sort of a shorthand for a much larger idea. Okay? So, here's the great earth, filled with the smell of incense, covered with a blanket of flowers, the great mountains, the four pines, wearing a jewel of the sun and the moon. In my mind, I make it a paradise of the Buddha, and I offer it to you all, sentient beings everywhere. By this deed, may all beings come to know the pure world, free from suffering. And now, make yourself comfortable. Settle into your body. Come into the present. Be aware of whatever's going on in your mind, but come fully into the present. Your body should be comfortable, pleasant, relaxed. Take a few breaths. Just settle into this feeling of being relaxed and comfortable. Now, please say to yourself, along with me, may I be free from suffering. And as you say that, call to mind what it is like to be completely free from every kind of suffering, mental or physical, to be completely comfortable, at ease. Recollect times that you felt like that. Try to make that feeling as clear as you can in your own mind. May I be free from suffering. And now, without losing that feeling of relaxed ease and contentment, say to yourself, may I be free from ill will. And bring forth that feeling of being completely at peace with everyone and everything. Let go of all animosity. And now, while this feeling of being free from suffering, comfortable, at ease, and being completely at peace and in harmony, while this feeling is strong and clear, say to yourself, may I be filled with loving kindness, and call to mind that warm sense of loving, caring, selflessly giving for the sake of others. Now, while feeling comfortable, at peace, and filled with the pleasurable warm glow of love, say to yourself, may I be truly happy, and call clearly to mind the feeling of true happiness. use memory, use imagination, use anything you can to make these feelings as strong as possible. You want to feel comfort. You want to feel peace. You want to feel love. You want to feel happiness. I find it helps to put a little smile on your face. Now join me in saying to yourself, just as I want these things for myself, so do all beings want to be free from suffering. So do all beings want to be free from ill will. So do all beings want to be filled with love and kindness, and to be truly happy. Now think of somebody that is dear to you. Somebody that you would like to experience these feelings, this peace, this contentment, this happiness, this love. Choose someone that you sincerely want to have this experience. Now picture them in your mind, wherever they might be at this moment, whatever they might be doing. And send them these feelings. May you be free from suffering. May you be free from ill will. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be truly happy. And as you do so, see them in your mind's eye. Picture them as they might react to suddenly being filled with these same feelings that you're feeling now. Now choose someone else who's close to you that you have good feelings about. And do the same. Picture them clearly in your mind wherever they might happen to be. and send them this gift. And then picture them as they receive it. Try to see the expression on their face as all of their pain and stress disappears. As they come to a place of peace and love. Watch them as they're suddenly filled with a feeling of happiness. If you need to, take a moment to refresh these feelings for yourself. Feel them as clearly as you can, and much more easily to send them as a gift to someone else. And now choose one more person who is near and dear to you. Picture them, send them this gift. See the expression on their face as they feel what you're wishing for them. And now think of somebody that's not so close to you. Maybe a neighbor, a coworker, a casual friend. And picture that person as they might be just at this moment, right now. And send them the wish. May you be free from suffering, ill will, May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be truly happy. And send them these feelings from your own heart. Try to see them as this gift is received. Now picture someone else. Someone that you really don't know very well at all. Perhaps that you've just seen or had casual contact with, just enough so that you can form a picture in your mind of that person. Almost a stranger. Doesn't matter how much you know about them, just picture where that person might possibly be right now. And send this person the wish for comfort and ease, for peace and harmony, for love and caring, and for true happiness. A song of joy crossing the distance between you and this person, almost a stranger. Send them this gift. And imagine them as they experience it. Wonder and surprise on their face as they suddenly experience this wonderful feeling. And now I'd like you to think of somebody who has been a problem for you that you have difficulty with? Someone that you find somewhat disagreeable. Maybe there's some conflict with this person. Call them to mind. When you've chosen who this person will be, I want you to remind yourself they are just like you. They too only want to be free from suffering. They too don't really want to be in a place of ill will and conflict any more than you do. They too have experienced and longed for the warm glow of love, and that more than anything else, just like you, they only want to be happy. And imagine this person wherever you think they might be at this time, doing whatever they might be doing. Send them these feelings of ease and contentment, peace, love, and happiness. Imagine this person that you may have called your enemy. Imagine this person suddenly experiencing the same feelings that you have. Share this with them. Send it to them. Imagine them receiving this gift. And as you visualize that, feel the joy for what they are feeling, for what you are sending to them. Now choose another difficult person in your life. And do the same thing with them. say the words, may you be free from suffering. May you be free from ill will. May you be filled with love. May you be truly happy. Take a few minutes to call to mind all of the troublesome and difficult people you've met, people in your life. Realize that just like you, they only want to be free from suffering. They only want to be happy. And all of the things that make them so difficult are really manifestations of that same wish. And so, wish for them that they have what they really want. May all difficult people everywhere find themselves in this moment free from every source of suffering, every kind of stress. May they be comfortable, at ease, free of pain. And may all feelings of ill will, anger, everything of this sort evaporate from the minds of these people in this instant. And as it goes, may they be filled with peace. May they have a sense of harmony with everything, everything and everyone around them. May all the difficult people everywhere know the feeling of love, caring, warmth in their heart. Feeling that they may have been missing for too long. Share with them that feeling that you have. What it's like to love. make difficult people everywhere feel true happiness. May all feelings of dissatisfaction, all feelings of grief, all feelings of wanting something they don't have, may that all go away, and may they just know the pure, simple happiness, the true happiness that comes from needing nothing, wanting nothing, loving everything, being at peace with all. Now we'll do something a little easier. I want you to feel all of the wonderful people that are here in the room with you right now. These beautiful, loving, sincere, caring, dedicated people. Feel them next to you, behind you, in front of you, all around you. May we all be free from suffering of every kind. May we all be free from ill will, from every sort of negativity. May we all be filled with love, appreciation, caring, wishing only the best for those around us. May we be truly, sublimely, blissfully happy here in this place, together. Send that wish to every person in this room. Let's spread this out to everyone in this city. May everyone in this city, may every sentient being in this city be free from suffering of every kind. May they be free from all strife, all ill will. May every being in this city feel love in their heart. May they be truly happy. And like from an endless fountain, let just flow from your heart outwards. May everyone on this continent be free from suffering. Be free from ill will. Be filled with love. Be truly happy. May every being on this planet, this beautiful blue-green planet, may all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be free from ill will and cease to cause suffering to others. May all beings know the joy that comes from love. May all beings be happy. May all beings in every corner of the universe and every universe, all beings above, below, in the four directions, may all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be free from ill will. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be truly happy. No less than every other being in this universe, you deserve to be free from suffering. You are capable of letting go of all ill will. you can be filled with loving kindness. And you most definitely deserve to be truly happy. Know this for yourself as much as for any other being anywhere. We are all one.